This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Till Monday night. Appreciate you rocking with me. Keith McPherson, another 5 hour KM to AM. It's not a marathon, it's a sprint. So I went and did a little digging to figure out some things that I couldn't figure out. Open mic time, talking sports, whatever sports you would like to bring to the table. It was Bob Nightingale who put out the Dave Roberts quote. Last year, Brian Cashman said the Yankees are trying to be the mecca of baseball with the most talented players playing there when Juan Soto got there. Okay. Well, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts says we are the epicenter globally for baseball. And I can't disagree with him. To the victor go the spoils. They are on top. They won. They have the parade and everything else. Shout out to my guy, Lou Goodman. Lou Goodman said Jose Iglesias hit .337 last year and is a fabulously smooth fielder. I'm extremely upset he's no longer a Met. And I said, well, David Stearns doesn't expect lightning to strike twice, and they're going with their younger options. And obviously there's a word out there that Iglesias, after what he did last year, he's not looking for a one-year deal. He's looking for years. He's looking for multiple years. And the money is dried up. Steve Cohen has deep pockets, but David Stearns like, nope, we're good. We're good here. 888-808-1019. Steven is in Danbury on the fan. What's up, Steven?
Keith, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, bro. A Met point and a Giant point, if possible. The Mets, you know, I'm not disappointed with what they did in the offseason, but I think we both agree it's just not enough. I mean, Soto's huge, but we still lack an ace. And I just don't think our starting pitching is good enough to compete with the Dodgers of the world.
Yeah, it's just scary because the bar is so high now, right? So you get to the NLCS, you go on that magic carpet ride, you want more of that. And if they don't at least get to the NLCS, it's going to be viewed as a failure. But it really shouldn't be. I think if they make the postseason, that's a success because the Mets don't have many years of back-to-back postseason appearances.
Hey, I take that. I'd be happy with that. If I were to ask you about the Giants, in the last four managers, who was the most successful record-wise, what would your guess be?
The Giants head coaches?
Yeah.
Who was the most successful?
The most successful.
Ben McAdoo? Record-wise.
Ben McAdoo. I mean, that's how bad they've been. Ben McAdoo has been our best head coach. Not bad. Record-wise, I mean, it's our ownership, man. The ownership, they just can't pick it right.
Yeah, that's crazy. Thanks for the call, Steven. And Ben McAdoo gets remembered for wanting to draft Patrick Mahomes, and he also is remembered for ending Eli's streak. And I don't know how many times I said last week, shame on the Giants for ending that Iron Man streak, because I think that helps his case with the Hall of Fame. Please do not call about the Hall of Fame. We did enough of the Eli Manning Hall of Fame conversation. Val is in the Bronx on the fan. Thanks for holding. You got it done.
Stace, what's good, King?
Bringing it home.
Heard you. You know, I want to talk to you about something with the Nets and the Yankees, but you've been saying something earlier. You said something about some stuff that McShay had said. And I just want to say this real quick. Hashtag, please let the world sleep on us as Jets fans. Please let them sleep on our franchise. And let the Jets shake the block and just blow it up and trade up and get Shedeur Sanders. Please sleep on us, everybody.
Oh, I thought you were going to say to get Jackson Dart.
Nah, I want that shit, dog. Let the world sleep. I heard all the pundits so far saying that, you know, that's not in the cards and everything. I want it to be some espionage that we just saying that because that's exactly what we're going to do. Just sleep on us, please. Shake the block, okay. Jet. Move up and do that. But to get to the two things I wanted to talk to you about, I don't know, the first one with the Nets. I don't know if you remember, all right? It might have been around the time when y'all, it had something to do with Durant. I don't know if it was when they were, I can't remember if it was when they were shopping him and trying to figure out what they could get for him or if it was just after they had moved him. But I remember calling you a while back and saying to you, as a Nets fan, how could you trust Sean Marks to rebuild your future? And I told Connor when he took the call, it's a half apology and kind of a revision of that take, because I must say, watching what y'all doing, all right, and I told you, I'm a Knicks fan, but I was born in Brooklyn. I came up in Brooklyn, and I have a soft spot in my heart now that they moved over there. I owe you guys half an apology.
Not yet. He hasn't done anything yet. But Val, he's done it before, right? He did it before, and the cupboard is not as bare as it was when he did it the last time. Go on.
This is what I'm saying. Like, maybe he wasn't, and I was right with what I said with the way he handled that big three in the town that he had, because I think he mismanaged them, and y'all should have gotten more out of it. But at the same time, as far as developing young squads, he had it with Kenny Atkinson before. When y'all were building to get to where y'all got to get that big three. And now he's doing it again with this young talent and this coach that he seems to be able to find good coaches, like people that nobody knows about. Well, I knew about Atkinson because he was with the Knicks before. But he finds good coaches who seem to know how to develop young talent. And in a funny kind of way, like I heard what you've been saying all week, it might turn out where y'all end up in the play-in. And that lottery thing, just because, like, it's not even, like, forget the tank. That lottery thing is so crazy. It might even work out with the stars where you end up in the play-in and somehow the ping pong balls fall the right way for you and you still end up getting the top pick in the draft next year anyway. And with what you get a chance to develop this season and see that would be a perfect spot to be in. Not as ambulance want to get hot. But so, you know, I owe that, like I said, a half an apology and a revision on that take because y'all might be in a really, really good spot with the way y'all develop it.
A third. And we'll take a third of an apology for now because they could mess up all that. We don't know how it's going to go, but it's looking good winning 6 out of 7 going into the All-Star break.
Mark seems like he knows how to do that kind of stuff, though, you know?
He's better served. Like, he has a coach now that actually knows X's and O's and motivates these guys. He has young talent, a deeper bench. And they've got a bunch of picks. We'll see where that lottery ball lands, but everybody's talking about how the Atlanta Hawks obviously, you know, got the 10 spot in the play-in and also, you know, had the lottery pick. So we don't know what's going to happen. What I tell Nets fans is, like, why would you root to lose? And the future is unknown completely. But in Marks, we have to trust. We saw him draft Nick Claxton. We saw him draft Cam Thomas. He also drafted the cast of characters that are playing for the Nets right now.
That's what I'm saying. And then to get to the Yankees real quick, you know, I think I don't know if you remember, but last week I brought it up to you. And this one is kind of like a little bit of an apology, too, because I tried to take the conversation someplace and I'm usually better than that. And thankfully, you corrected me. But, you know, because I was trying to say I'll line up against the Mets and this, that, and you were right. This is, first off, nobody cares about that. That means nothing right now. And this ain't even the time for that anyway. That's a discussion that doesn't need to be had. You're perfectly right on that. But what I wanted to say to you was, because I hear the conversation coming up again now with the lineup, I had given you my full lineup. I don't know if you remember. We could always go into that. But just to get into the top three right now, the way I heard you say something with Judge Batten second, and I like the idea of that, but I also have my own take. I think if everything is true with the way that Boone and them are kind of like the aspirations that they have for Dominguez in the spring, if all that actually plays out, and you get, I know spring training doesn't really matter as far as that stuff is concerned, but if you get some good indicators and some good feels that make you think that what you're putting on Dominguez is actually true, I actually like the idea of putting Chisholm at the leadoff and having Dominguez at the two. Because as a rookie, it gives him the chance, not that, you know, because we still got to work on Jazz to get him to be a more disciplined hitter at the plate. But at least Dominguez gets that chance to be in the batter's box and see the pitches before he actually gets to the plate. And it also, I know this sounds insane, and I'm not even saying that. You could never kind of replicate what we did last year with that, you know, Soto 2 and Judge 3. But at the very least, that dynamic gave Judge a lot of ribby opportunities. And if there was any way that, not that we could replicate that production with Soto, because there's no way Dominguez could do that. But just to get it back to that where you had the 1-2, and if the things are true about Dominguez, he could get on base, he could steal a couple or what have you, that would actually put Judge right back in that three hole like he was last season, and it might actually turn out to be really good. And then you got Stanton protecting him, and Goldschmidt protected Stanton. And then you can work out the last three after that. Maybe Volpe turns it over again. You know what I'm saying? Or Bellinger, all of that. But that was what I envisioned. When I told you the lineup before, and like I said, I don't know if you remember the call, but last week I'd actually brought it up.
And no, I remember right. The call. I don't exactly remember the lineup. Thanks for the call, Val. What I'll say is this. Jazz is left-handed. Dominguez is a switch hitter. I think he's going to hit more from the left side. If they want to go lefty, lefty, righty, maybe. But I think that the Yankees are going to want to go lefty, righty. You know what I'm saying? They're going to want to flip-flop there. And I think a lot of it does depend on Judge, too. If Judge wants to bat second or third, I think Judge wants to probably go back to batting second. Either way, Judge is facing their starting pitcher. He's batting second or third. And I'm not against the idea of having two speed guys in front of Judge. It's going to shake out in spring training. They are going to have split squad games where, you know, these guys are going to get plenty of opportunities. They'll get enough data and intel and small enough sample size to say, okay, this is how we're going to ride. 888-808-1019. Daniel is in Philadelphia on the Fan in New York. Daniel, you ready for the parade tomorrow?
Yeah, man. No, I'm flying to Cancun first thing in the morning.
Are you really? That's great.
No, seriously. I booked it on Monday. My birthday's actually on Saturday, but I wasn't going until after seeing that horrible game on Sunday. So I'm a Giants fan, living in Philly for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've seen three Super Bowls. Philly's won two of those three in the last 10 years.
Yeah, man. So for me, it's been a special kind of hell because it kind of goes back to, and I just want to make this point as to why I need Giants ownership and management to take this so personal, but specifically with this team. It goes back to me to the Deshaun Jackson punt return, to go back to like recent history. And there's like I have a whole list I can run down. There's that. There's my favorite Giant of all time, Victor Cruz, getting injured, really sidelining his career in Philadelphia and them laughing at him. There's Jalen Hurts being pulled, the young Jalen Hurts being pulled out of a game for Nate Sudfeld, the game that had playoff implications for the Giants, which the Eagles end up losing. And I can't remember how that exactly impacted us, but it certainly did. There's also the Devontae Smith, that draft. I don't know if you remember, but the Eagles jumped up ahead of us and everyone in the world knew we wanted a wide receiver.
Yeah, they ended up with Kadarius Toney, who is now facing charges.
Kadarius Toney. Exactly. So there's that. And then there's obviously the Saquon thing. There's a playoff loss when we just had to beat Minnesota, you know, a few years ago. And we came down here and they just stomped us. Not to mention my whole family, or at least the in-laws, are obviously Eagles fans because they're from this area. So, dude, it's been a real special kind of hell these last few years. And I just need to hear some contrition from, like, Joe Shane. Like, I need to hear him say, I am sorry the Giants fans had to suffer through that horrible decision.
Oh, he'll never. He will never.
I know he wouldn't. I know he wouldn't, and I don't even know if it'll make me feel better, but I need him to feel what we're feeling, right? Like, you know, especially if you live anywhere down this area and you're not an Eagles fan, I'm almost envious because, you know, there's not a lot of transplants in Philadelphia. In New York City, you know, you could find an Eagles bar up there. Down here, dude. I got the NFL package if I want to watch a game. Or if I'm leaving out the house wearing Giants gear, I should just be ready to fight. So I miss that energy in New York, right? Like, I miss that. I miss that toughness. And, yeah, man, I just had to vent. Like, I heard you use the term 2K say earlier, which I haven't heard yet. Sounds pretty cool. But we didn't even sniff that when we had him. And he obviously had the talent 6 years later to be the best running back almost ever.
Yeah, right? You had him in his best years, his freshest leg years. I mean, I know he was hurt a lot of those years, but
yeah. But still, the ones that he was good, where Daniel Jones kind of seemed good, that 1 or 2 years, it's all because of Saquon. I just don't know how that decision to not just at least play keep away from the Eagles, if you could, just not that sort of competitive intelligence that I know GM should have I just don't know how we didn't see this coming. And the Eagles were 10-1 last year. And now you add the best running back in the game. Like, what did we expect? But anyway, man, I've been nauseous for the past, like, 6 months having to watch this nonsense. I can't wait to get to Cancun tomorrow morning and not be here for it. And, you know, go Giants, man. Hopefully it turns around for us.
Enjoy it, man. Delete all the social media apps from your phone. Thanks for the call, Daniel. That's got to suck. Like, I don't even go to South Jersey because it starts to turn into Eagles territory, Phillies territory, Flyers territory, Sixers territory. And yeah, you're never going to hear. Joe Shane, when he met the media, he was so smug about, like, nope, wasn't worried about my job at all. No, and he's just so sure of his process, and they've been terrible. And he's made so many mistakes, but, like, he talks like a guy that has a 10-year leash. He talks like a guy that's got a 10-year plan that he's sure is going to come around one day. And I'm not so sure it's going to come around, and I'm not so sure he's going to get more than another year to try and fix this. Jake is out on Staten Island. Next up on the Fan, talk to us, Jake.
What's up, Keith? Big fan. Calling again about the Giants, you know. I don't like any of these QB prospects, right? Cam Ward's going to get demolished behind the O-line. And, you know, I think Shador would be the best for the job because he's not, you know, he won't be blinded by the lights in New York. But, you know, we got to face it. Deion's not going to be here to save him. And people are throwing, you know, Kyle McCord and Jackson Dart out there. Like, get out of my face with Kyle McCord. I think we find a veteran quarterback. Wait till next year and just see what that QB class is looking like. I just wanted to see what your opinion, Keith, would be like. If we were to sign a veteran quarterback, who would be, how we would get him, not sign him, trade for him, maybe Matt Stafford, who your option would be, and maybe who your option would be for the quarterback position in the future for the Giants.
Thanks for the call, Jake. As far as veteran quarterbacks are concerned, most of them are whack. Most of them are not good. I would say Jameis Winston, but, like, Jameis is a whole clown. And, like, it's funny until it's not. You know what I'm saying? It's funny until he's throwing pick sixes. It's funny until you're in a game and he forces the ball somewhere that loses you the game. And when I say he's a clown, the whole eat the W and like, what you just saw him do as a Fox correspondent down there in New Orleans, like, that's not going to be funny with a losing Giants team. But maybe Shane sees something in him and Daboll can coach the turnovers out of him. And I know he'd light it up with Malik Nabers throwing him the ball. But, like, you, what you don't want to do is go the Drew Locke route again and sign, like, a Gardner Minshew or, like, a Mason Rudolph or, like, I don't know, Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, they have to sign one of those types and draft a young guy and have, you know, the young guy learn from it. But that's another thing, too. No guarantee that you're going to bring in a guy here that wants to be a teacher, wants to be a tutor, wants to bring a young guy. Like, it's the Giants are in a tough spot. They're in a tough spot. 888-808-1019. Running out of time. Call the line. Keith McPherson on the Fan. BRB. With my woes. Bro, I was running this album all day yesterday. Like, if you're reading this, it's too late. 2015, when that dropped, I was unemployed. I was living up the hill off Old Corley's in Neptune with my mother. And I had this little room downstairs. I used to watch, like, Breaking Bad till 2 in the morning on my MacBook, wake up, apply to jobs, and I was applying to hella jobs and not hearing anything. And I had just got out of the Fan Cave opportunity, which everybody basically was like, hey, you were in the Fan Cave, like, you're gonna turn that into something. And I spent, like, 5.5 months living with my mom and just applying to jobs and not hearing anything, and I was this close to getting a job down the street at Home Depot, the Home Depot off of 33 in Neptune across from the Jersey Shore Premium Outlets and Walmart. And I don't know, I remember this album dropped And not long after, I got a response back from MTV2. Shout out to Brittany Travis. I will literally never, ever forget you. She gave me an opportunity to come in and interview with her. I passed the first round, and then I interviewed with the higher-ups, and I got that job, and I started going every day to exit 109, taking the bus from Red Bank, New Jersey, up to Port Authority, and working in the city in 2015, 10 years ago. This time, 10 years ago. Really, it was March, but like I had the interviews, and it was, you know, February when I finally heard back, and I was like, man, they might have saved my life. I was this close to just, you know, living with Mom Dukes, working at Home Depot, walking to work, and that would have been all right. That would have been fine. Maybe I would have figured something else out, but that was like a huge breaking point, and that Drake album was one of the soundtracks that I had playing in my headphones, working out, applying to jobs, and just trying to find my way. 888-808-1019. Let's take the rest of these calls, and then I'm up out of here. Jay is in Jersey on the fan. What's up, Jay?
What is up, Keith? How you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for calling.
All right. So, respect, but I think you're wrong about the Yankees' facial hair situation. So you're talking about how the Yankees aren't what they used to be anymore?
Go on. They're not what they used to be.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I didn't even know you were still on. Sorry about that.
Well, of course, I'm still on.
Yeah, sorry. I just got disconnected accidentally. Sorry. They, like, what were they that they are not now that we
champions.
Don't want them to be?
They were consistent World Series champions. They were the highest spenders. They were going to get the best free agents and always outspending everyone else. They were dominant. They were feared. They were never out of any game. They were never mocked and laughed at and trolled after losing World Series. They were always respected. Like, I could go on.
Exactly, but that's all stuff that we want back, right? So why get rid of the facial hair? That's like getting rid of the last of the Yankees.
No, getting rid of the facial hair policy would be changing with the times, evolving, and realizing you're not what you used to be. So you really don't even have the pedigree to be on that. That's in the past.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for the call, Jay. 888-808-1019. John is in Connecticut on the fan. Go for it, John.
Hey, Keith. Let's get down to some brass tacks here. Red Sox are back. Red Sox are back, baby. And when the Red Sox win the AL East this year, because they're going to, hopefully we give the Yankees enough leeway, and you guys have the season up until August. But once August comes around, Keith, I promise you I'm going to be calling you this year, and I'm going to be insufferable. I'm going to be that insufferable Red Sox fan that you guys haven't seen for like 5 or 6 years, and we're going to have fun. We're going to have a lot of fun this summer. When I look at what the Yankees have done this offseason, there's nothing that scares me. Bringing Cody Bellinger with a, 84-mile-per-hour exit velocity, that is Chris Bryant 2.0 without the pedigree. You brought Paul Goldschmidt in. What's Goldschmidt? Is Goldschmidt there to play for Old Timers Day? Like, is him and DJ LeMahieu going to play a doubleheader on that day? Because I feel like that's what they did. And then Jason Dominguez, like, don't get me started on Dominguez. Like, that's, what, he's a super senior of rookies, which is his fourth year as a rookie. In the Red Sox farm system, he would be number five. Number five ranked prospect. There is nothing about this Yankee team this year that I'm even close to being scared of, and I can't wait for the season to come by. And I'm telling you, Keith, me and you are going to have a lot of fun this year.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. You better call if it doesn't work out the way that you see fit. You better call when Judge is hitting grand slams, when your fans are in there singing Sweet Caroline down 5-0 in the second inning. You better call when Yawkey Way is empty and they're saying, where's all the fans to see Masataka Yoshida and Alex Bregman and Wally?
But you're right. I just hope Judge stays healthy this year. It'd be a shame if it's another year.
Stay healthy. You got a bunch of guys that got to stay healthy over there. Keep Devers away from the buffet line as well.
Devers plays games. You want to talk about Story? That's fair. Story gets hurt. We get Story back. We got Whitlock back.
You got Aroldis Chapman over there. Sweaty ass Aroldis Chapman going to be trying to close the game.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Different between our fan bases, right? As a Red Sox fan, we know more moves are coming. Because if you look at that team,
finally, moves now. Not just getting a Netflix series for a 500 team.
But Keith, you said it though. You said the Yankees are done. They're done making moves. Red Sox fans know we still have more moves that we're going to be making. I mean, right now.
Yeah, you got to build that bowling alley and a movie theater, and you're trying to renovate that whole area up there for the All-Star game in 2029.
But I'm just saying, going into 2025, just tell me right now, Keith, who's more optimistic?
The team that went to the World Series representing the American League, John. Good night. 888-808-1019. Ryan is in the Upper East Side on the Fan. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, Keith? How you doing?
I'm good. You know, bringing it home.
Awesome. That was an interesting perspective from John there.
These Dirty Water fans, they're back. These Red Sox fans, they got Alex Bregman. Yes. Oh, no.
Absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, my quick question tonight was really around the Yankees' bullpen. And, you know, I know Devin Williams did close last year, but we also saw Luke Weaver be really successful, you know, in that role. And I was just curious, do you think that there's a chance Luke Weaver would actually be the closer and Devin would be the setup guy?
No.
Or, you know, is it's certainly definitely the other way.
He'll close some games if you know, if we're in a series or something, and I don't know, it's a four-game series, and maybe Devin Williams, you know, threw back-to-back and, you know, it got a little rocky in a couple of the innings, and he got his pitch count up. But, like, Devin Williams was just rated as the best reliever in baseball. He is a closer. Luke Weaver.
Yep.
Luke Weaver got thrust into that position because the Yankees wanted to tell us they believe in Clay Holmes till he set the record for blown saves, and they couldn't possibly do that anymore, or fans would have been throwing 99 burgers on the field. You know what I'm saying? They had no choice but to go to Luke Weaver. Make him the setup guy, and he'll close some games. But Devin Williams has the opportunity here to be a fan favorite. Devin Williams and his airbender have, like, there are people that are going to be showing up dressed like the airbender. I don't know what his song is going to be, but when he has his entrance music picked out for the Bronx and we need those last three outs, it's going to be a scene. I can't wait for it. Like, he has the chance to really be the guy. We haven't had that guy as the closer. Chapman sucked. And we have only bad memories of him. Clay Holmes was a joke. And for the, like, little stretch that he was good, the, like, 29 innings where people wanted to compare him to Mariano Rivera, that has completely evaporated. I just think that Devin Williams has swing and miss stuff that guys aren't going to hit, and he's going to feed off the energy of Yankee Stadium, and it's going to be lights out, and we're going to restore that feeling. Not Enter Sandman, but whatever song he picks is going to be something like that, or it's going to be good night, drive home safely.
That airbender pitch is a hell of a pitch. I have to say, watching it, you know, over
it's,
the
it's
the
course different,
time.
Man, and I can't wait to see it live in person. The fans can will the Yankees to victory. That thanks for the call, Ryan. That two strikes will. Everybody get up, clap, let's go. Play Frank. We out. Justin is in Floral Park on the Fan. What's up, Justin?
What's up, Keith?
You know, taking
unlike John, I always call my team losers, and I guarantee that clown you won't hear from him again.
No
Red
shot.
Red Sox are about 15 games under 500.
No shot.
I don't know what drug that guy's on.
He's on Alex Bregman $40 million contract drug.
Oh, yeah, let me get scared.
John Henry Bregman, smoking a cigar.
He's talking about exit velocity. Bregman played in a ballpark. They talk about Yankee Stadium. That gave him so many home runs in that little short porch.
That's why he went to Fenway. I was doing the comparison last night. I think it's 315 to the Crawford boxes, 310 to the Green Monster.
Yeah, please. I was up there in Fenway this weekend. My daughter had a volleyball tournament. I had to deal with these clowns after the Celtics crushed my Knicks. You know, they're killing New York sports. They go, you guys don't win nothing anymore. I'm like, dude, forget it. Your football team's a joke. Your baseball team is a joke. Got rid of Mookie Betts. So please, stop talking smack, man. All you got is the Celtics, and that's it. The Bruins stink.
Yeah, okay? But they find smack. A way. They have hella parades in the last. I know I did a – there was one night I counted up all the parades of like 25 or 28-year-old kid in Boston rooting for all those teams has seen. It's unfair.
Yeah, I know. But Keith, honestly, besides the Celtics, I don't think they're going to see a lot of parades for a long time. I still think the Celtics could be had. I don't think anybody's beaten Oklahoma this year. But as far as our Yankees go, Keith, what is going on with Stroman? I mean, this could become a big distraction. Can we just get rid of this clown? I mean, well, why is this guy still on the roster? he's useless. He literally did not pitch one inning in the playoffs. He was horrible down the stretch for us. He was below 500. Cashman never really wanted to sign him to begin with. So, like, can we get rid of this guy for, like, I don't even know what, but can we get maybe, like, a young prospect or something? Because this guy should not be even – I'd rather pick somebody up than have this guy on the roster because he's not even going to be in the rotation.
And yeah, I don't know.
It's pretty much set.
I think he shows up Saturday, especially with all this conversation. It's been a long night. I spent the first hour of the show talking about Stroman. I don't know. I think he's going to show up. They said the 15th, which is Saturday.
Yep.
The last day that he can, you know, show up is the 22nd. I don't see any market for him. I don't see any place for him on this team. I think he's just going to be collecting dust, but I think he'll show up and do what he's contractually obligated to do. And I'm not so mad about him, you know, just kind of kicking back for these last couple days when he knows the rumors about him potentially being traded. He knows he doesn't have a spot in the rotation.
Right.
He knows that he's, you know, I think in year 11 and he's not the pitcher that he was. I mean, this has been going on. Like you said, he got shut down last year. He didn't pitch in the postseason. The writing has been on the wall for him to get up out of here for a minute. Like this guy's got a lot of pride. He's got a chip on his shoulder. Him being undersized, he's had to fight his entire career to make it.
Listen, it's a great story and everything, but you know, it's time.
The Yankees, if they could find somewhere to send him, I think they would have already sent him. I don't think that they're holding out. I don't think that it's the Yankees that are, you know, setting the price too high for Marcus Stroman.
Right.
Nobody's taking on that contract, and here we are with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Now it looks like a really dumb contract.
All right, yeah, it really does. And here's my last question. Are we really going into the season with DJ? Or are we going back to the Arenado, which I really don't even want to touch?
No.
But, I mean, he's better than DJ. But, I mean, I honestly think DJ's shot too, just like I think Stroman shot. So, I mean, I'd rather just roll with Cabrera, to be honest. But I just don't know what the Yankees' thinking is here.
Thanks for the call, Justin. Yeah, I only went to Boston one time. That was for James Madison University versus Northeastern. I remember being on a bus and seeing all those colleges up there. I remember being on a bus and seeing Fenway and being like, that place sucks. They should knock it down. That place is trash. Dimensions are trash. The whole thing looks dumb. Maybe I'll go this year. I was actually going to bring Carrabas on the show tonight, but I'm like, nah. I've had Carrabas on enough. And I knew he'd probably be on 10. And that last caller that was, you know, feeling himself and those stupid City Connect uniforms that the Boston blue and yellow Sox wear, they don't scare me none. You got to show me. I'm putting respect on their name, but, like, they still got to do it. And Bregman, it's not like, you know, Bregman wasn't the hottest commodity. He was hanging out for a little while. That's why they made the move, because he was just there. They overpaid to get him. I don't know. I wouldn't go to Boston talking trash. The Celtics are the reigning NBA champions. And you want to talk about show me. Oklahoma City's got to show me. They got to do it. They got to get through. Boston could go back to back. Kristaps Porzingis back? I don't know, man. 888-808-1019. Last call, four calls. Keith McPherson on the Fan, wrapping up the show right after this.
Yo, we did it again. Another one. Another 5-hour KM to AM in the books. You guys call up and make the show. We talked about a lot of things, and we'll do this again next week. I think next week I got like 3 of these. So that'll be fun. I'm off tomorrow. Gotta take wifey, Jackson's mom, to a nice dinner for Valentine's Day. So, and I haven't taken many days off. Honestly, I don't think I took a day off since November when I went on vacation and people on Reddit and Twitter wrote that I was fired. And I'm like, I'm in the pool with my kid. Shout out to my boy Jay Schmies. He's like, yo, are you seeing this? I'm like, nah, I deleted all my social media. And he's like, yeah, people are saying that you got fired. That's why you're dark on social media. I'm like, nah, I just don't spend this much time ever with my wife and my son. And I just was trying to be present. So, yeah, I was like, all right, you know, after I took that week off in November, I think the week before Thanksgiving, I'm like, I'm going to come back. And I'm going to hit them over the head every single night. And I'm going to be here, and they're going to hear me, and they're going to feel me, and I'm going to keep applying pressure. Make a hater mad. But make supporters and fans of mine really happy. So hopefully I entertained, and hopefully you had a good time again and passed the time. And now I'll take my last 3 calls, and I'll move out of the way so C-Mac can come in and hold it down for another 5-hour midnight ride. John is in Hoboken on the fan. What's up, John?
Yo, Mr. McPherson, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You said something that hit me straight about the Giants being in a bind. They're in a bind. And when you're in a bind, there's no hocus pocus. The number 3 pick is hocus pocus. It's not going to fix you. They need to trade down and get to basics, like, fix your line, fix your 7, fix your odds on D&O. A regular quarterback isn't going to be able to do anything with that protection. Maybe go get Justin Fields and see what you could work. But there's no magic fix. They need to do like the Rams. Be smart. Trade the pick. Get a few picks and build from the bottom up, you know?
Can these guys, can Joe Shane do that? Can they draft the right offensive lineman? They've seen so many configurations of their offensive line. Dable should know exactly who to get up out of there and who not to trust again. Like, you got to start there. Because in your own division, the Super Bowl champs have the best offensive and defensive line. You have to face them twice a year. The number one thing should be, how do we build up some kind of offensive defensive line that can protect said quarterback and rush their Super Bowl MVP quarterback?
You're right. Football's still about kicking behind, kicking people's butts. It's physical.
Yeah, it's
and
soft.
You know what?
It's soft on the outside with pass interference and all that other stuff.
Having to save their jobs, in my mind, you save your job by not being selfish, by saying, forget the quarterback. I'm going to do the right thing.
Thanks, John. They got to get a quarterback. But if they're not in love with Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, then trade back. Or take Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, the best available. But the more and more I think about it, they've missed on offensive linemen in the draft. They have so many different offensive linemen play in different configurations. They're signing guys off practice squads. They're moving guys around different positions. Nothing's going to work until they can build that wall up front. And it seems like the Giants go through every couple years of talking, oh, we got to fix the offensive. Well, some, like, fix it. If Shane and Dable do one thing, fix the offensive line. Jalen Carter's not going anywhere. So they have Milton Williams and Josh Sweat, and at least Brandon Graham is retiring. Jordan Davis not going anywhere. And you know what the Eagles will probably do? Draft some more demons. Draft some more monsters to put on their offensive and defensive line as backups, right? You should have another set of guys that are hungry on the defensive line. And I mean, on the offensive line, you're going to need some backups. They always get hurt. They go down. I don't know, man. Maybe you go get Justin Fields because he's going to have to run for his life a little bit. Shedeur Sanders was running for his life at Colorado. Maybe that's a match. Shedeur Sanders was always spinning out of the pocket, running, trying to find grass to set his feet, holding on to the ball and throwing downfield. My guy, Jonathan, out in L.A., how are you?
Yo, my guy Keith, I'm nervous, bro. Me and my wife we're getting married. We're getting ready to go to the hospital. We should be there in about an hour or two. So I got you my AirPod. We're moving things along, man. Nervous, bro. Probably my baby girl's gonna come tomorrow for Valentine's Day. You can ask nothing more, man. So I'm pretty
God
sure.
God bless. Don't be nervous.
Now,
you're blessed.
You'll be meeting, 2 years from now, you'll be meeting the family in opening day, bro, all of us. But no matter what, this year, I'm great with Sebastian. But I'm nervous, man. But, bro, regarding that Boston fan, it's funny, bro. Like, this week, I was going at it with my cousin and his friend, and they're all Dodger fans, man. It's something about they love poking at the Yankees, man, because we're the Yankees. Can you believe this guy? This guy's like, you know what? We kick your butts in New York and blah, blah, blah. We all this and that. Bro, they said that we better beat them in the World Series or else we won't get the respect. What do you think, bro? Other than that, thank you, brother.
To hell with the Dodgers. It's not a guarantee that they just go back to the World Series. Tired of hearing about the Dodgers. It's the Yankees' year this year. I don't know if that's true or not. I just don't think the Dodgers are winning back-to-back because I ain't seen anybody win back-to-back since the Yankees did it. All right, let me get out of the way. I got to drive home. You guys keep it locked right here. Chris McMonagle on the Fan. The Midnight Rider. Or is that the song? I don't know. I would never know. Anyway, Chris has got you. Listen to his show for the next 5 hours. I'll be back on Monday. Have a good Valentine's Day weekend. Good night. Sports Radio 1.